MZTV.
It's law that spreads like gangrene. Mixing law and grace spreads like gangrene. Not pure grace. Pure grace? The most outrageous thing, one of the most outrageous things I've ever heard in this business. Heralding the Evangel, I heard from Johnny Green recently. He said, the reason Christianity is screwed up, you heard it yesterday, reason Christianity is screwed up is because they've adopted the teachings of Martin Zender and Scott Hicko and Michael Knotts and Rob Weil and others of our ilk. Yes, that's exactly right. They're all teaching, all these Christian churches, the Christian church right down the road from you, they're all teaching salvation by grace and grace alone with no works of law added to it. They're all teaching the salvation of all. They're all teaching justification by faith. Who needs pardoned when you're justified? None of them are teaching repentance. No. For why would you repent if you're justified? Yeah, that's the problem in the Christian church. The irony in that statement is the Christian church is teaching exactly what Johnny Green is teaching. Mixing law with grace. This is one of the most unlawful things you can do, and our friends Johnny and Caitlin are both doing it. Thank goodness they only have, 30 to 40 to 50 views on their videos, and I don't allow for comments. Out of self-preservation, I guess, they've shut down comments. Don't blame them. And so, yes, unfortunately, it is their teaching that is running rampant in the Christian religion. And of course, there's another irony on top. An irony here is that when you mix law with grace, you become scolding. We see that. I've taught this before, not only with Johnny, but he's got that scolding Old Testament prophet voice. Why don't you do this? Oh, and along that line, our friend Gary Laser has a great quote concerning that voice of condemnation. You better stop sinning for God to be pleased with you. You need to repent from your sins. Don't teach like Martin Zender teaches, or that grace. Don't think for a second that grace covers every sin, because it does not. Johnny, that's the exact teaching in the Christian religion. Anyway, I'm going to read Gary Laser's quote too. This might be a two-part thing here, which would work out great, right? Thursday and Friday. I like the title too. I think it's going to be the title, pretty sure. It's law that spreads like gangrene, not grace. My God, law is going twice around the earth before grace even ties its shoes. I would like to take credit for that quote, but I believe that's Mark Twain comparing truth and lies. The lies travel twice around the globe before the truth can tie its shoes. Yeah. Oh, no, ladies and gentlemen, grace is not popular. This is a shock all of you face when you try to herald the salvation of all to people. You try to herald justification by faith, where you don't have to worry about your sins anymore. You don't have to feel condemned. You don't have to repent of your sins. You do have to repent. But when Paul asks people to repent, he's asking them to repent of their old ways, to repent of the fear that they used to have. Like, I if anyone was watching Johnny's and Caitlin's video, I would say, you guys have to repent. Oh, yeah, no, Johnny tells us to repent, and Caitlin tells us to repent. I would say, no, you need to repent from Johnny and Caitlin's video. You need to repent from thinking that you can improve your standing with God and Christ by your behavior. And that's not Paul's message. So you need to repent. So when Paul repents, simply means to change the mind. So whenever Paul uses the word repentance, he's talking about repenting from the old way of thinking, repenting from thinking that your behavior determines your position with God in Christ, in the mind of God in Christ, to be accepted by God in Christ. It does not. we are reckoning a man to be justified by faith apart from works of law. Any law. Law of Moses, any law. Oh, speaking of the law of Moses, I'm telling you that these two individuals, Johnny and Caitlin, lovely people, I still love them, can't help it, that they use the word Yeshua. Yeshua. They can't say Jesus. I don't know why. This is cult-like behavior. I'm telling you, this smacks of Messianic Judaism, and there's your first tell that something is askew. Yeshua. That's your tell, because they are coming, promoting the law of Moses. Without calling it that, they'll swear up and down they're not teaching the law of Moses. But they are. They're not calling it the law of Moses. They're just calling it a more awkward term. They're calling it, you better repent of your sins or you will not be right with God. Oh, that's an archaic message. That's a message that smells like Mount Sinai. No, it doesn't smell like Teen Spirit. No, Teen Spirit smells much better than this. Much better. So, folks, before I get into Gary Laser's letter, I'm not cut out for hospitals. I got my CT scan done today. I'm pretty proud of myself. It was traumatizing for me. The worst part of it was waiting for it. I don't understand. Listen, I used to work at a hospital. I was a nurse's aide. They call us an orderly. Well, they called me the disorderly orderly. I was an orderly for like 3 years. But I did some medical procedures. For instance, I mean, I put catheters into men. Yeah, that was always a great time. And so, but mainly it was patient care. I was in the front lines, you see. The nurse's aides, they're in the front line. They're in the trench of humanity. You see a lot of stuff there that you want to forget, let me tell you. And so I retired from that business to work for the Postal Service. I worked at the hospital from, when was it, 1980. Was it 1980? Yeah, it was the fall of 1980 until 1984, maybe 83, three or 4 years. But here's the shock. When my dad was in the hospital 20 years later, I was shocked to see that none of the patient care techniques had changed. I don't know what I expected, but the same old crap was going on. It seemed so primitive to me, like nothing had advanced in patient care. For instance, you go to the doctor's office and you sit on that starched paper. They have that little tiny, I don't know what you call it, counter, a padded counter with starched paper on the crinkles with a crinkly crunch. It's the most uncomfortable, stupidest paper you can imagine. And nobody has imagined anything else in 155 years. And they still have the jar of tongue depressors there. And it's comedic to me. Oh, yes, and the swabs, the cotton swabs in a separate jar next to each other. And that jar says swabs. And the jar with the tongue depressors on it says, you'll never guess, tongue depressors. Because don't you know, you have to go to med school for many years to depress someone's tongue and tell them to say, ah. And what you can discern from that, heaven only knows. But nothing has changed. And it... Yeah, who is it that's not thinking out of the box in these waiting rooms? Like the waiting room I was at today. What's with the fluorescent lighting? That's the best you have for people who are stressed out to begin with. They don't want to be there. They want to be comforted. They want the comforts of home, and you give them fluorescent lights? It's hideous. It's evil. It's terrible, and there should never be a waiting room existent without windows. I don't care how many walls you have to smash down. And why didn't the hospital I was at, the Broward County Medical Center today, why didn't it have music playing? I mean, nice music, like maybe classic rock or something, but nice, quiet music. Why were there no plants in the room? Why was there nothing green in the room except the upholstery on the chairs? Why? And why was it so cold? Why do you have to set the thermometer at 65 degrees to prepare yourself for the grave? For the blue hour at 4 a.m. when the body reaches its closest point to death? I don't understand. I don't understand. And why don't they give the people pagers like they give you at the restaurant? You go in, you sign in, they give you a pager. We'll page you when the doctor's ready for you. And then you can go out, wander around, go to Starbucks if they have one nearby. Yeah, you got to stay close. When your pager goes off, get right up here. But no, instead you have to stay in this little cold cubicle with no plants, with no music, nothing comforting of, no comforting thing of any kind except this. I'll say this place had paintings. They had some impressionist paintings. I can't sit down, so I'm just wandering and looking over and over at the paintings, having this feeling of complete and total dread. It was terrible. The best part was actually finally getting called into a sub waiting room. Then you go into another waiting room. This was warmer by about 4 degrees, and it was stupendous. And then I finally got called in to do this CAT scan, which I never had one. I don't recommend it to anybody, but I mean, it wasn't quite as bad as I thought. The guy said, now I'm going to inject this. Wait, you're going to what? See, I didn't know they inject some radioactive material. Well, I guess I did know, but I thought that was for the PET scan, not the CAT scan. But the guy said, I'm going to inject some of this after I put this giant needle in your arm. You're going to feel warm. I said, thank God. Thank God. Is there a window around I can look out? Can you put some Led Zeppelin on the speakers? And have you got a plant? No, they don't have any of that. But the thing went rather quickly. I dreaded it. I hate it. When I got out of there, it felt like I'd been busted out of jail. So there's that. Wait, just briefly, you know, our first son was born in the hospital. And I'd never been in the hospital except when I was born. Well, no, I had my tonsils removed as a kid. I don't remember any of that. Had to go to the hospital for that. Oh, yes, I did fall down the steps at home. The basement steps. I was probably 3 years old, and they had to take me to the hospital. But I studiously avoided hospitals. So we had our first child, Gabe, in the hospital, and my wife and I, it was a horrible experience. Like I say, there's nothing logical about raising a woman's legs in these stirrups, raising them up to the Muzak speakers. I mean, gravity is famous for making things fall down. And when women are in the field and they have their babies, they just squat and the baby comes out because gravity is famous for making things fall down. But no, in the modern hospital, they crank your legs up, crank your ass up to the Muzak speaker so you have to push the baby out. That's why they're always standing over you saying, push, push, push. How about squatting and letting it out? After that, we decided we were going to have our... And we had any more children, and we ended up having two more. We were going to have them at home, and that we did. Much more logical, much more practical. Well, I got that out of my system. It was awful, but the procedure wasn't as bad as I thought, I have to say. But the needle was hellacious. I guess the guy's not used to people not liking needles. Hey, you really tensed up when I put that needle in there. Yeah. Is it still in? No, I took it out. Good. Are you getting warmer? Not yet. Turn up the heat. Listen to this. Gary Laser. I love this. Because I have come to see, this is Gary's comment on my show yesterday. Because I have come to see what vile, wicked sinner I have been in my past. It was his grace alone. Boy, am I going to contrast law and grace for you. And what I don't finish today, I'm going to finish tomorrow. Because I have come to see what vile, wicked sinner I have been in my past, it was his grace alone that helped me. His grace alone. Not to, quote, go and sin no more, as I had always believed is my duty when wanting to obey God's ways and laws. And isn't that true? I mean, Jesus did say that to the sinning woman, go and sin no more. But Christianity has latched onto that as if that's the only gospel. It's not. To Johnny and Caitlin Green, there's only one gospel. I'm going to get to that too. There's only one gospel according to them. And to them, it's a mixture of law and grace, but mainly law. It's an admixture. It's a bastardized gospel upon which Paul pronounces an anathema. And I'm going to get to that anathema in Galatians chapter 1 and Galatians chapter 3, you can bet. But isn't that what they do? Go and sin no more. And this is Johnny Green and Caitlin Green. These are just two individuals, two of the latest Jewish wannabes who can't abide the fact that they just can't tolerate the fact that you and I can be free, totally free and totally happy, even while we occasionally fail. None of us go on, fail on purpose. Maybe some of us do, but grace covers it all. And there are a lot of people in this world, these are just the latest, but most of them are in Christianity. And Johnny and Caitlin, my friends, are for some reason borrowing this from Christianity. They hate the fact that there are free people who are totally delivered from the guilt and the bondage, and delivered from this: go and sin no more. But Martin, Jesus said that. Yes, but he said it to a particular woman: go and sin no more. He didn't say it to you, did he? Paul never says go and sin no more. He doesn't want you to sin. He says things like sober up justly and do not be sinning. But he says that only after establishing you in the truth of his gospel, which is where sin increases, grace super exceeds. We are now justified. We are now righteous. God is conciliated to us, and we are reconciled to him simply by having faith that Jesus Christ, I don't mind repeating this day after day after day, having the faith that Jesus Christ died for our sins. He took the old humanity to the tomb with him, and he rose without it, and now we can live in newness of life. And ladies and gentlemen, living in newness of life has nothing to do with worrying if your sins are keeping God from liking you. I'm going to get Pentecostal here in a second. Woo! That is fabulous. So Gary says, I was a terrible sinner, and Gary says, go and sin no more. Never worked for me. It never changed me. But he always believed, he says, I'm going to quote him now, it was his duty when wanting to obey God's ways and laws. But, listen to this, it was grace that once I believed this truth. What truth is he talking about? The truth that we are reckoning a man to be justified by faith apart from works of law. And not only that, but this, and I'm going to be talking more about this tomorrow. This is what Gary learned. For in grace, through faith, are you saved. And this is not out of you. It is God's approach present. It's a present. The righteousness of God and the favor of God, the friendship of God is a present. And Johnny and Caitlin and other Christian people want to take away your present. God gave you a present. And it is, you are saved. What did I do? Nothing. You're saved in grace. It's God's approach present. Well, I thought it was my works. No. Verse 8 and 9. Of Ephesians chapter 2. It's God's approach present, not of works. Not of works. And yet there are still Judaizers out there, people who say Yeshua. Careful of that. I'm not saying that everyone who says Yeshua instead of Jesus, why can't you just say Jesus? Because they're very serious people who want to eliminate sin, and they want to be like the terrestrial Jesus. They want to be like the terrestrial Jesus, and they want to be like the Jews who are still trying hard to control their flesh, and they want to be like these people. They want to be Israelites, and because they want to be like these people, they've latched on to this Yeshua. It's the Hebrew word. It sounds very sophisticated, and if you say it, that puts you in another category altogether. Well, this person's serious. This person uses, it sounds like I'm mocking people who say Yeshua. I'm not mocking everyone who says Yeshua. Some people just like to use the Hebrew word. I'm not talking to you. God bless you, and I love you. I'm talking about people like Johnny and Caitlin Green, who you can tell by using this title for Jesus' name, they think it lends them some sort of holy sheen, like they're taking God seriously, and you sinners are not. You people who say Jesus, You're a bunch of sinners. We take this thing seriously. I almost said what they refused to say. We take this law seriously. Oh, they take the law, Moses, very seriously. I'm going to get back to Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and I'm going to contrast it. Yeah, that's what I'll do. I'll contrast it. You'll see with something else that my friend Johnny Green says. But let's get back to Gary Laser here, who's really giving this great testimony of what worked for him in his life. I want to start this over. It's so beautiful. And I can do it now that I have, now that I can relax and I know I'm going to do a part two tomorrow. And you're going to love part two. If you loved it today, and how can you not have loved what I've done so far today? You're really going to love tomorrow. Thank you for being here, by the way. Did I introduce myself? Okay, you know who I am. Because I have come to see what vile, wicked sinner I've been in my past. It was his grace alone. Grace alone. I keep gleaning treasure from this post that helped me not to go and sin no more, as I had always believed is my duty when wanting to obey God's ways and laws. But it was grace that once I believed this truth and walked away from the teachings that condemned doers of sin. This is what Johnny and Caitlin are doing. They are condemning and blaming and challenging doers of sin. They are challenging doers of sin to repent or else. But Gary said, once I walked away from the teachings that condemned doers of sin, I experienced a freedom of thankfulness. And what do you do when you get a present? I just read in Ephesians 2 that this grace is God's approach present to us. God is giving us a present. Wait till they open this. Wait until they open this. And you open it and it says, you are completely justified. All your hopes and dreams of being like God have been answered. You now have the righteous standing of my own son, Jesus Christ. What a present to open. And you look at your body and you look at the things you've done and you say, how could this possibly be? Because it's based on grace, son. It's based on my favor. It's based on grace alone, as Gary Laser will one day tell you, as he describes his walk. It's not based on your works. Aren't you thankful? Wouldn't you be thankful to get such a gift? So when Gary walked away from the teachings that condemned doers of sin, he experienced a freedom of thankfulness. That's the only thing God wants now. Johnny Green thinks that now that grace is on the scene, God wants you to use grace to stop sinning. No! No, he doesn't. That is a lie. Yeshua doesn't want that. You know what Jesus wants? Thankfulness. Just be thankful. And that is true freedom. That's all you owe God. You don't even owe him that, but it's so nice to be thankful. That reverence, this is also what came to Gary, that reverence of the work of Jesus on the cross. Yes, the reverence that it was a completed work. That reverence of the work of Jesus on the cross bought the freedom. But listen to this. Bought the freedom from dwelling on my sins. The freedom from dwelling on my sins. That is a true freedom. And this is a freedom that Johnny Green and Caitlin Green and all of Christianity are trying desperately to take away. They are trying to take away your freedom from dwelling on your sins. These people are asking you to dwell on your sins, to bring them up to Yeshua one by one and repent quick. You better repent quick or you're in trouble. You're not pleasing Yeshua. Why aren't you pleasing Yeshua? You should be ashamed of yourself. Don't follow the teaching of Martin Zender and Scott Hickel and Rob Weil and Michael Knotts. These are the people mentioned by Johnny Green. Those who teach what? The unadulterated, transcendent grace of God. That it's grace alone that saves. Anyway, the reverence of the work of Jesus on the cross brought the freedom from dwelling on my sins. and without real notice, worked change. This brought change into Gary Laser's life. This brought change. What did? The freedom from dwelling on my sins. This is the irony. This is a great irony of Paul's gospel as opposed to law, as opposed to mixing law and grace. This brought freedom from dwelling on my sins, and without real notice, worked change that I thought would never come without using the correct name of Yeshua. Oh, I loved it. Ooh, a little dig there. A deserved dig, Johnny and Caitlin Green. His life changed. He stopped sinning. What caused him to stop sinning? Being thankful for being saved by grace. What an irony. What a paradox. You would think that you have to try hard not to sin and repent of your sin. That's the only way you can stop sinning. No. That'll eventually lead you to sin more. And you'll be tisk, tisk, tisking everyone as you conjure them in the name of Yeshua to let go of their sins. No, this is what really works. It's apprehending the pure grace of God, revering Jesus on the cross. That brought work, according to Gary Laser, I thought would never come without using the correct name of Yeshua. What a fool God had me become before he alone showed me what grace is and how it changed my behavior. What a fool God had me become. Gary now is recounting his old life in the Christian religion, and he considered himself, while he was trying hard not to sin and concentrating on trying not to sin, he now considers himself a fool. And those who teach that you have to conquer your sin, but those who mix it with Paul's gospel, those who try to make it consistent with Paul's gospel, those who try to tell you that this is part of Paul's gospel, oh, they are lying to you. And they are deceitful workers, and their message is anathema because they are teaching a bastard gospel, a mixture of law and grace. If you kept Paul out of it, Johnny and Caitlin, if you just kept Paul out of it, Christian religion, you'd be fine. Stick to the law. Stick to Yeshua. Get the Ten Commandments out. Tack them on the wall. Make them out of stone. Whatever you have to do, make them out of concrete. And just stick with that. Read the Sermon on the Mount every day. Pray the disciples' prayer. Keep Paul out of it. But since you don't, since you try to tell us that this is also Paul's message, it becomes a big, fat lie. And your gospel becomes an anathema gospel that you will suffer loss because of if you have aeonian life at all. And at this point, I don't know. Because it's not a pure circumcision gospel, and it sure as hell is not a pure Paul gospel. It's a bastard gospel. What a fool God had me become before he alone showed me what grace is and how it changed my behavior. He finishes this way, which is very nice. So thankful for your constant rebuking of lies and the entreating we receive when you readdress these errors that hold in chains resulting from self-righteous efforts. It's my pleasure to do this, Gary, but it's really not a pleasure. It's hard work. It's the hardest work I've ever done in my life. But as they say, somebody has to do it. And God has called me to do it. And I'm thankful to God for that. It's the greatest job anyone could have. I think I have the greatest job anyone could possibly have. And Gary is right when he says that these errors have held people in chains for years. And the chains of condemnation and guilt result from self-righteous efforts. Amen. We are not into self-righteous efforts. No, we sit and we bask. Yes, we sit and we bask in the glory of what Christ accomplished on the cross. And we are so thankful for it.